Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 9, Texts 22 and 23. Oh, please, no photos. It's disturbing. No more photos, please. Thank you. Yeah, mobile check, all the mobiles, please. Kill them. Prastite tu vanam pitra tatva gam dharma samshrayaha shatrimshad varsha sahasram rakshitavya hatendriyaha. After your father goes to the forest and awards you the rule of the kingdom, you will rule continuously the entire world for 36,000 years, and all your senses will continue to be as strong as they are now. You will never become old. Purport. In the Satya Yuga, people generally lived for 100,000 years. Dhruva Maharaja's ruling the world for 36,000 years was quite possible in those days. Tvad Patri Uttame Nashte Mrigayayam Tu Tanmanaha Andeshanti Vanam Mata Savagnim Sa Pravekshati Vatratar yutame nashte Mirdayayam tutan manaha Ande shanti vanam mata Vavagnim sa pravekshati Vatratarat yutame nashte Dayayam tutan manaha Ande shanti vanam mata
Ande shanti vanam mata
Avagnim sa pravekshati
Ladies. Veshanti Mata.
Mrgayayam, in hunting. Tu,
then.
Tanmanaha, into afflicted. Anveshanti, while searching out. Vanam, in the forest. Mata, the mother. Dava Agnim, in the forest fire. Sa, she, pravekshati, will enter. The Lord continued, sometime in the future, your brother Uttama will go hunting in the forest, and while absorbed in hunting, he will be killed. Your stepmother, Suruchi, being maddened upon the death of her son, will go to search him out in the forest, but she will be devoured by a forest fire. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj came to the forest to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a revenging spirit against his stepmother. His stepmother had insulted Dhruva, who was not an ordinary person, but a great Vaishnav. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnav is the greatest offense in this world. Because of having insulted Dhruva Maharaj, Suruchi would become mad upon the death of her son and would enter a forest fire, and thus her life would be ended. This was specifically mentioned by the Lord to Dhruva because he was determined for revenge against her. From this we should take the lesson that we should never try to insult a Vaishnav. Not only should we not insult a Vaishnav, but we should not insult anyone unnecessarily. When Suruchi insulted Dhruva Maharaj, he was just a child. She, of course, did not know that Dhruva was a great recognized Vaishnava, and so her offense was committed unknowingly. When one serves a Vaishnav unknowingly, one still gets the good result. And if one unknowingly insults a Vaishnav, one suffers the bad result. A Vaishnav is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pleasing him or displeasing him directly affects the pleasure and displeasure of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his 8 stanzas of prayer to the spiritual master, has sung, Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadah. By pleasing the spiritual master, who is a pure Vaishnava, one pleases the personality of Godhead. But if one displeases the spiritual master, one does not know where he is going. Om Jnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stha sthapitam jena bhutale svayam rupapada mahyam tathati shapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri jatapada kamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sagana gaganatam vitam stam sajivam sadvaitam savatutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam sri radha krishna padam sahagana ladita sri vishakhanditamscha he krishna karuna sindho dina bandho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute Tavdakam shana gaurangi Radhe vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu sute devi Pranamami hori priye Vansha kopatarubhyascha Kripa sindhokya evacha Patijanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Prastite tu vanam pitra tattva gam dharma sanshriya shatrinshad varsha sahasram rakshita vya hatendriya twad bratar yuttane nashte mrigayayam tu vaktan mana anveshanti vanam mata davagnim sa pravikshati. What keeps beeping? The metal detector, right. That's what keeps beeping. Okay. Prastite tu vanam pitra. So both of these verses are significant. Prastite tu vanam pitra datva gam dharma sanshraya. The kingdom will become yours after your father leaves for the forest. Vanam pitra tatva prastite tu vanam pitra. Your father is the king of the world, but he knows that he's not going to stay king of the world forever. And he knows that it's his duty to leave voluntarily before being forced out by death. This is the system in Vedic culture. For the sake of saving oneself from repetition of birth and death, if I remain attached to my post, if I remain attached to my family, if I remain attached to my things, I have to come back. For the sake of my attachments. And therefore the Vedic culture demands that one leave these things behind if one is serious about getting freedom from this material world. Panchashortam vanam brajet. Brajet means one must go, not one may go. One must. There's no use in trying to extend one's stay in family life or in possession of a responsible post. Another 5 minutes, another 5 years. What's the use? One must give them up voluntarily. Vanam Vrajet. And in the old days, they would go to the forest. Vanam means tapovanam, the place for austerity. The place for austerity. Tapo divyam bhutuka yena sattvam. Yasmad suhyet brahmasokyam vananta. One may think going to the forest means suffering, but actually going to the forest means getting free from suffering and becoming eligible for unlimited enjoyment, brahmasukha, spiritual enjoyment. Material enjoyment is limited. It's time limited. It's quantity limited. It's quality limited. It's crummy, cheap, limited happiness for a short time. That's material happiness. It appears to be happiness, and it always comes with distress stuffed into the package. And there's nothing we can do about it. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that anyone who wants to stay here and enjoy material happiness is a fool. He's a fool. Nateshu ramate buddhaha. No intelligent person would do that. Therefore, the even great kings would leave everything behind. Everything means their paltry little material possessions, like the whole world. Dhruva Maharaj's father was the king of the whole world. But what is the use of being king of the whole world? At the time of death, if you say to Yamaraj, I'm the king of the whole world, so what? What does he care? Therefore, they would give it up. Dadva kham dharma samtriya. He gave the whole world to his qualified son. The attached old men think there's no one as qualified as them. No one can take on their responsibility. It's too intricate. They have too many years of experience. And the newcomers won't know what to do. They'll blow it. They'll destroy what we've built up. This is called illusion. Among one's responsibilities is the responsibility to get out and the responsibility to hand things over to a qualified person. Not willy-nilly just dump everything, but hand things over to a qualified successor. It's not that one has to be have 40 years of experience before he can be qualified. Alexander the Great lived for 33 years. At 20 he became king, and within a few years he expanded the kingdom like anything. By 33 he was over. In the modern day we would have waited for him to become a little more experienced, say 45 or so, before we handed over any responsibility to him. 20 he became king. Shankaracharya lived for 33 years? No, 38 years, I think. Like that, 35 years, 38 years. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed for 48 years. And we're under the illusion that until someone is 60 or 70 like us, he won't know what to do. The real story is that we don't know what to do. We don't know that it's time to get out and hand things over to the next generation. We think that we have to stay on indefinitely. This is called Maya. We will go. It's only a choice of how we go. Kicking and screaming or voluntarily. It's better to go voluntarily for the sake of spiritual realization. And for that higher purpose, Dhruva Maharaj's father, handed over the kingdom of the world and moved on to the next stage. There are four stages of Vedic life: brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. To stay in grihastha life till one's last day, Srila Prabhupada says, is the grossest type of degradation. Dhritarashtra wanted to do that, but he was fortunately saved by Mahatma Vidura. The Prabhupada said, in those days there was one Dhritarashtra, now there's one in every home. And therefore there's a need for more Viduras. There's a need for more Viduras. Dhruva Maharaj was given the blessing, you'll never get old. You'll have the same sensory power in your old age that you'll have now. The rest of us don't get that benediction. And therefore, to try to enjoy sense gratification, even into old age, is foolishness, and pathetic foolishness at that. You see an old man trying to enjoy like a young man. It's sad. It's sad. And it's a sign of not knowing the real purpose of life. The real purpose of life is to get out of this material existence and become fully engaged in the devotional service of Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. That we should keep in the forefront. And if that's what we want to do, an enormous obstacle is to commit an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Describing the beautiful plant of devotional service, how one gets the seed of it in the heart and waters it with hearing and chanting and watches it grow up and up and up, piercing through the coverings of the material world and Brahmajyoti and taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, bearing fruits and flowers. After describing that plan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and if you want to ruin the plan, then let the mad elephant come into your garden and trample everything. Elephants are enormously powerful. Just for fun, they could knock you over with their trunk in a moment. And if they go mad, they destroy everything. That means whatever you've planted, if a mad elephant comes there, is utterly destroyed. It's just ravaged and finished. And that's what our devotional service can look like if we commit offenses to the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. One should not do that. Here, Dhruva Maharaj was a child and he wasn't yet a Vaishnav at the time of being insulted by his stepmother. He was just a little kid. He didn't even know who Vishnu was. His mother later told him, people go out to the forest to look for him. But at that time, Dhruva Maharaj wasn't a Vaishnav at all. But he later became a Vaishnav, and therefore Saruchi suffered the results of Vaishnav aparad for offending him. And what to speak of offending someone who's already a Vaishnav? So, to offend a Vaishnav, you have to be madder than a mad elephant. Mad elephant is understandable, he's an animal. But if one is a human being and he's trying to make progress in the loving service of Krishna, for him to offend Vaishnavas is a suicidal policy. It means killing his spiritual life.
One should not do that. Maybe I have some extended comments on this subject on my website. There's an MP3 file for those who should be interested. My website is www.jswami.info. I can't tell you what page that's on, but you can Google it. It's called Don't Badmouth Sadhus. Don't badmouth sadhus. Badmouth is American for speak ill of. So there's a discussion of that topic there. You're welcome to download it, or as you like, do what you wish. And we'll stop here and take some questions. Again, for those in the listening audience, that address is www.jswami.info.com will also get you there. Okay, Suresh Prabhu. Okay, there's an internet question. Okay, there's a question, an Atma Vidya Manor UK question. A Vaishnava is never supposed to take offense. So how is Dhruva Maharaj a great Vaishnava if he got so offended? He was offended before he became a Vaishnava. That was enough. And even if he doesn't become offended, Krishna feels offended. The Vaishnava may not take offense. Vaishnava isn't, that's what. But Krishna takes offense. It's said that a man can tolerate the hot sun on his head, but it's impossible to tolerate hot sand on your feet. So the devotees are at the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore offending them is intolerable to the Lord. The Lord does not tolerate Vaishnava operas. Yes?
Maharaj, in his comments to Gita 13:8-12, Asaktirana Vishvanga Puktra Dara Grihadishu, Prabhupada, which means detachment from children, wife, home, and the rest. Prabhupada has a very positive spin. He says, if one is able to make one's family Krishna, if one is able to make one's family Krishna conscious, basically he mentions chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Gita, Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, then he says, there is no need to change from household life to renounce life. So could you square that with your reference that if one stays in household life to the end of his life, it's the most abominable type of degradation?
My references outnumber your references.
Let's hear them.
It's concessional. If there's no need. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there's no need to perform prescribed duties. For a Krishna conscious person, where's that third chapter? 17. For the Krishna conscious person, there's no need to perform prescribed duties. Right, exactly. Yastvatma ratir eva syad atma triptas jamanava atman yeva chasantushtas tasya karyam navijate. His duty doesn't exist. Naiva tasya kritain arto na kritain eha kashchana. Nachasya sarva bhuteshu sarva kashchira tavyapashya. He has no reason to perform prescribed duties. He also has no reason not to perform prescribed duties. Tasmad asakta satatam karyam karma samachara asakto yacharan karma paramapnoti purusha. Therefore, always being detached, asakta, karyam karma samachara, one should completely perform one's prescribed duties. Asakto yacharan karma paramapnoti purusha. Because by doing so, one attains the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So for one who's accepted householder life and can make his family Krishna conscious and make himself Krishna conscious, there's no need to change. He's performing his prescribed duties. But when he becomes 50, his duty changes. As much as it was his duty to be attentive and responsible in family life, it's now his duty to retire from family life. He has no need, if he's fully Krishna conscious, he has no need to do that, and he has no reason not to do that. And then Krishna says, one should do it for the sake of instructing others. Yadyadacharati, even persons like Janak Maharaj, perform prescribed duties to teach others. Yadyadacharati shreshtas tattadevetaro janaha. Whatever the great person does, the common people follow. Whatever example he sets, people follow that. Name partasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinshu. I have no duty to perform in all the three worlds. Nanabhaptam abhaptavyam parte vichakarma. And still I perform prescribed duties. We had the example of Karta Muni, who had the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son, and left home. Home is where the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared. And as soon as the Lord appeared, Karta Muni left, because it was his duty and to set the example.
So you say, when Prabhupada says, so if one is able to make his family Krishna conscious, there's no need. You mentioned stages.
How will you make your family Krishna conscious if you stay in family life till the end of your days?
But that's what he says, and you said that's concessional. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah. For the first become Krishna conscious, take up chanting Hare Krishna, take to the Vaishnava way of life, stay with your family, everything's okay. And once you get it, once you've understood the thing, then at the mature time, get out. Which is what Prabhupada says throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. You won't find... I love Srimad Bhagavatam because almost any verse that I get for the class, I always win. You know, the preponderance of the evidence, as they say, the preponderance of the verses pushes this agenda of renunciation of material entanglement.
And even in the last couple of lines of that, you know, positive spinning purport, Prabhupada turns. He says, but if one's household life is not favorable, then you should...
Yeah, that's for sure.
As if to predict the inevitable.
As if to predict the inevitable, yes. And in the word for word or something, I think it may be the word for word, one should not be more attached to home, family, and so on than ordained in the revealed scriptures. In the word for word, right? Than ordained in the revealed scriptures. So this is what's ordained in the revealed scriptures. 25 years. Yes. Sureshwar Prabhu.
Actually, I have two questions. First is on the Vaishnava apparatus.
Ask your two questions loud and clear.
Okay. I find it interesting. There is a story of either Rupa or Sanatan. He was in meditation and he was seeing some very funny Leela in his meditation of Krishna, and then he laughed.
Who was doing this?
Either Rupa or Sanatana, I forgot.
Yeah.
And there was this crippled Vaishnava with a crippled body passing in front of him, and he thought he was laughing at him, although Rupa or Sanatana was not at all, you know, doing that. But because he took offense that his vision broke. So it's kind of interesting that even if you don't intend to offend someone, just someone taking offense has an effect. Can you
elaborate? Sometimes we don't mean to offend someone, but we offend someone. We should be so careful. Unintentional offenses. You know, if the President of the United States or the President of India came here, he would be so careful not to offend him. Either intentionally, unintentionally, you know, give him the wrong idea somehow. He would be so careful. So how careful should we be to avoid offending Vaishnavas? Every Vaishnava is worth more than 100 presidents.
And the second question is about this, the other topic. So what's the difference between like Grihastha Ashram and Vanaprastha when you...
What's the difference between Grihastha Ashram
and Vanaprastha Ashram when you renounce, go to the forest or renounce with your wife? You know, you slow down, you just do sadhana. Is that something to be given up also?
I couldn't get what you're saying. What's the difference between householder life and life in the forest if the rest of it was unclear?
If you go to the forest with your wife, because it says that...
Oh, what's the difference? If you take your wife with you, what's the difference between staying at home and householder life and living in the forest? First thing...
And is that stage also to be given up? Or
is that also to be given up?
Is that good enough?
Is that good enough? Okay. Number one, what's the difference? The main difference is no sex. In householder life, sex is allowed. In vanaprastha life, no. And that's the first thing. Second thing is, householder life is more or less a life of development, of expansion. We get married and we get an apartment or a home. We have some children and we buy curtains and furniture and we expand. We move up in our job, and our career. We accumulate, we grow our assets. And householder and vanaprastha life means winding down. It's just the opposite. You get into householder life, and then you're supposed to get out of householder life. Not that we're like Abhimanyu who knew how to get into the formation but didn't know how to get out. The brahmachari is trained to know how to enter household life and perform responsibly, and then how to get out of householder life. So vana means there's no furniture, there are no cosmetics, there's no internet, there's no television, there are no social functions, there's tapasya. It's not comfortable life in the forest. It's a life of austerity. So the austerity is the cure for the intoxications of householder life. And is it good enough now I've gone with my wife? At the mature stage, one should send one's wife back. Then sannyas. Kiranagari Prabhu.
Asking this question as a joke, but I'm serious. There's three or four people in my life I'd like to see burnt in a forest fire.
There's probably three or four people who'd like to see you burnt in a forest fire, too.
Most likely to. So I want to ask a couple questions real quickly, but they're all related. So should I pray to God? Please take care of my enemies.
No, you should pray to God to take care of you.
Well, what
I was just reading
enemies,
someplace in this Dhruva Charitra that Dhruva Maharaj's mind became contaminated by anger. Someone read that? You remember that? Dhruva Maharaj's mind became contaminated by anger. When we become angry, our own consciousness becomes polluted. Tasmade tatrayam tyujate. Trividham Narakasyedam Dwaram Nashanam. These are three doors to destruction. Kam, lust, anger, and greed. Therefore, Krishna says one should avoid these things. We should avoid these things. It's not helpful for us to pray to have. When Dhruva Maharaj became advanced in Krishna consciousness, then he wasn't thinking, I want to get back at my brother, I want to get back at my stepmother. Any more than he was thinking, I got to get a kingdom, I got to get... He gave all that up. So better for us to give these things up.
All right, so my next...
Much as we might like to enjoy the thought of our enemies burning, better to give it up.
Okay. So, next, in this matter, next question is, you know, the concept of vengeance is mine, you know what I'm saying?
Saith
the Lord, yeah.
Not us.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm saying, why is Suruchi's treatment of Dhruva considered a great offense when she was just being a silly woman? And why is Dhruva's vengeance against his mother not considered an offense? In other words,
he didn't do anything.
Where do you draw the line of offense?
One thing is that Dhruva Maharaj didn't... He wasn't performing tapasya to burn his mother up, his stepmother. He was offended, but it's not mentioned that he started making plans to get even with her or destroy her. That's not mentioned. He was offended. Maybe he wanted to get even by getting a better kingdom, but it's not mentioned that he wanted to destroy her. And in fact, when he came back from the forest, he offered her his respects as much as to his own mother. So that's Vaishnav mentality. But Krishna took it seriously, that all right, she's silly, but don't be silly. Don't offend people, whether you're a man or a woman or whoever you are. We should be careful not to cause needless offense. Yes?
Okay, so one more question then.
Okay.
Why is it that Krishna, or God himself, is becoming involved in the silly doings of ladies and vengeance?
Because his devotee is involved. Otherwise he doesn't care about it. He stays out of it. But because the devotee is involved, he's getting involved.
And it seems like he's siding with Dhruva now.
Of course he's siding with Dhruva. Krishna says, Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mayi te te shatrapyam. I'm equal to everyone. I don't hate anyone and I'm not partial to anyone. But if one engages in my devotional service, he's in me and I'm in him. So Krishna takes the side of his devotee. Another question. All right, there's a lady there.
Hare Krishna. This goes back to the question before. That why in the scriptures does it say that sannyasa is forbidden in Kali Yuga?
Why do scriptures say that sannyasa is forbidden in Kali Yuga? Two reasons. One is just to give attached householders an argument. And the other is because generally in Kali Yuga people don't follow the rules of sannyas. And they accept sannyas for the sake of impersonal liberation, or worse than that, just as a way of getting out of responsibility. In Kali Yuga everything goes down. So Mayavad sannyas, or sannyas for the sake of, or false renunciation, is not approved. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who quoted that verse, approved when his elder brother Vishwaroop accepted sannyas, and then he himself accepted sannyas, and he had followers who accepted sannyas, including our founder Acharya. So it appears that although it's forbidden, when wrongly accepted, it's approved when properly done for the service of the Lord. Okay.
Seems that if the scriptures say that something's forbidden, and then there are conditions under which one can do that anyway, then could that apply to other things that the scriptures
yes.
forbid?
Yes, therefore the acharyas adjust things. You find all over the place that one, on page this it says something, and on page that it says the opposite. There's so many places where you get conflicting advice. And therefore, Mahajana Yena Katasa Panta. One has to follow the path of the Mahajanas to know, and one has to follow the direction of the bona fide spiritual master. Wherever.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
What is the reason why a Vaishnava commits offenses?
For what reason does a Vaishnava commit offenses? For too many reasons, all of them bad.
So like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that any like advancement you make on this path is never reduced or lost.
Even if an advanced devotee falls down,
any little advancement you make is never lost.
All of his advancement is never completely lost. This appears to be the exception.
Like Mahaprabhu said, when you commit like an offense, the plant is completely destroyed.
Yeah.
So how do we?
It means that generally Arjuna says, what happens to the person who makes spiritual progress but yoga chalita manasa, he becomes deviated because of material attachment. Is he wiped out? Does he lose everything? Krishna says no. Whatever he's gained is his permanent asset that stays with him. Even though he's become deviated, even though he's been trapped by material attraction, he still has that, and in his next life, automatically, it comes back. But if you commit offenses to Vaishnavas, that's a different story. That's not just material attachment. That's something more serious. One's progress becomes like the waning moon. As we have the waxing moon, Pratipada, what is that? Pura Shreya Kareva Chandrika Vitaranam. The waxing moon, there's also the waning moon. If we offend Vaishnavas, our devotional service goes from full moon to half moon to quarter moon to sliver moon to dark moon. And lost. It is contradiction. But it's a different circumstance. One thing is you become attached, the other thing is you offend Vaishnavas. Offending Vaishnavas is so serious, you can wipe out your progress. And we've seen devotees can wipe out their spiritual progress. It's so serious, it's so pernicious, it's so bad. If we value, you know, all this work we've put into it, years and 16 rounds a day and four regulative principles and morning program and evening program and austerities and preaching and so many things. And we're going to jeopardize all that by offending Vaishnavas. We should be so careful. Maybe Krishna will be merciful. He'll leave something for you. All right, the guy tried. So much risk is there. We can lose everything.
So Maharaj, can we say it's wiped out totally or it's put on a hold because devotional service?
Slow.
Can we say that it's totally wiped out?
Or yes, we can say totally wiped out.
Or it's put on a hold because devotional service?
When a mad elephant tramples your garden, is your plant put on hold or is it wiped out? Uproots the creeper of devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavana, and some devotee, Gopal Chapala, offended a Vaishnav, and then he got afflicted with leprosy, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming by. Mahaprabhu, you're the savior of the fallen souls. I'm the most fallen. Please save me. Go to hell. You've offended a Vaishnav. I won't save you. If he won't save you, who will save you? We should be so careful to avoid Vaishnav aparads. Question? Long story, okay, wherever it was.
Hi, Rishima. Thank you for your lecture, Maharaj. You mentioned, Maharaj, like talking about Dhruva, and then the context you were saying that the Vaishnava. There are two things, like if you offend a Vaishnava and the person, if he's not a Vaishnava and later on he becomes a Vaishnava, then the offense counts. So in that, but then you're making a difference that at
least... A little slow, please.
I'm sorry. There's a difference we are making that first we should not offend a Vaishnava, and then we went on to say that we should not offend anyone.
Yeah.
So are they connected in a sense or what?
Yeah, Prabhupada says both things. Don't offend a Vaishnava. And don't offend anyone else.
Is that the reason? Because he can become a Vaishnava later?
No, it's because you shouldn't do it. It's not because he may become a Vaishnava, it's because it's our duty to be inoffensive toward others. We shouldn't offend other living entities needlessly. And on top of that, he might become a Vaishnava and you could wipe out everything. But first of all, we shouldn't offend. Not that I'll consider, what are the chances that this person might become a Vaishnav? Pretty low, okay. We should avoid offending others. Yes?
Okay. Maharaj, you give the example there that a Vaishnava's spiritual progress is completely wiped out. Mm. But then you give the example of that... I think it was the uncle of Lord Chaitanya who he offended Srivas Thakur. So he got leprosy and then the Lord reneged on him, so to speak. But later, he said to him, he came back later, and he said, if you apologize to Srivas Thakur, then you'll get my mercy.
Mm. Yes.
And we have other examples which are saying the same thing, that your spiritual life isn't wiped out, but all you have to do is apologize to that Vaishnava and actually turn the tables back.
It's wiped out, you know, like your account. Your account can be practically wiped out, closed, finished. But there are things you can do to reestablish your credit. So you're practically finished, but if the Vaishnava forgives you, then you may be reinstated.
So in other words, it's just covered.
Otherwise, Nagatir Kutopi, you're nowhere. Well, okay, wherever it goes, but Vidvan is right there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. While preaching, I mean, as a movement, there's a lot of this camp and that camp and a lot of so-called bad-mouthing. What is the right attitude?
So-called?
Bad-mouthing, you know?
Bad-mouthing. We should be very careful. Not that this person belongs to this camp, and therefore, you know, fair game. We should be very careful. Not that these people are only so-called Vaishnavas because they don't belong to my group and therefore I can apparad them right and left and nothing will come of it. One shouldn't be so foolish. We should be very careful.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question and a comment. The question is, quite often when devotees criticize and I tell them that don't criticize, then the usual response is, I'm not criticizing, I'm just speaking the truth.
Hmm.
The truth must be spoken because Brahmanas speak the truth.
That approach to Vaishnava Parads has a long history. You can find it done very well in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Prajapati Daksha, who began his severe offenses toward Lord Shiva by announcing to everyone that he wasn't going to say anything offensive. He was just going to tell the truth as it is.
And the comment is, once Sri Gopi Prandan Prabhu told me that to get rid of this offensive attitude, you should periodically write down the good qualities of all devotees you dislike.
Mm. Yes. To remember the good qualities of devotees will help us. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had that practice. In some meeting, he would appoint this devotee to glorify that devotee. Maybe especially if they had some bad blood, you know. Then you start to see, what are these things that I'm concerned about? And the Narasimha Purana said that the bad qualities of the devotee are like the spots on the moon. Yeah. The moon doesn't deserve to be criticized for its spots.
Hare Krishna, what is the difference between making a Vaishnava aparad and discrimination?
You're fighting against the echoes and the machine, so you have to speak slowly, clearly and loud.
To discriminate, see things as they are, and making Vaishnava aparad. Sometimes we are afraid of
discriminating, seeing things as they are, doing the needful, but we should be very careful. And one should know what is to be done and what is not to be done from Shastra. Not just be carried away by emotions.
Regarding the detachment in the area of Vaishnava, what is the border of detachment regarding position? Suppose the Vaishnava have a position and is a duty spiritually, but still the
Vaishnavas should not hang on to their positions till their dying day as possessions or as secure, as security or as facility for the most creative or powerful influence. Vaishnava should understand, I'm going. I do this for some time and then I go. And my job, just Prabhupada, is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. And he handed it over. Yeah? Practically from the beginning of the Krishna consciousness movement, he established a GBC and said, you do things. So he was, of course, involved. But he expressed so many times his desire, you take it over, you take it over, you take it over. And more, you know, for this we have the GBC. Ask your local GBC man. This should be decided by the GBC. In his last days, more and more, you know, don't even tell me about it, just GBC, GBC. GBC, sannyasi, hand it over.
Bhagavad Gita, there is also told that one devotee ever never to abandon his duty.
What?
Never has to abandon his duty.
Never abandon your duty.
Service.
But your duty is not to stay in your spot, hogging the territory till your last day.
One of our young people, second generation fellow, very smart devotee, spoke before a gathering of leaders, ISKCON leaders in North America, and said that some of our youth think that some of you will hand over your responsibilities when we're able to claw the keys out of your cold, dead hands. It should not have to come to that.
Someone might say, it is my devotional service, so how can I give up my service?
Prabhupada wrote to me, and wrote to quite a number of other devotees, continue your prescribed duties and train others. That's what Prabhupada did, and that's what we should do. Continue our prescribed duties and train others. Not make ourselves indispensable, that no one else can do my service. I have to be here forever. Continue our prescribed duties and train others. Now it's 9 o'clock. Yeah, I know there's one here and there's several there, but seems like we should probably put a limit on things, especially since Odan Shashti is today and there will be a program at Jagannath Mandir. So we'll stop here. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande.